Accession number 27499, Mr. Pete Neville, Reel 4. Now, we were talking about your list of successes or kills or whatever, victories, whatever you want to call it, I mean, you shot down in this period. I wondered if you remember any of the other stories of, you know, of the actual incidents, or whether they've blurred away now.
Well, I suppose really the first two, I was flying both fighters. But
so what happened with the second one?
Well, with the second, the others, I was taken off both fighters for a while, and put on
mosquitoes. Well,
I was given the okay to go over France.
Now, hang on, that's a sort of slightly separate thing. So you were still based at Bolthead then, though?
Yeah.
Now, let's take... What about the second kill you had in a bow fighter? What do you remember of that? The other one in a bow fighter?
Not a lot, really. It's, you know, you're guided onto the target, and you see a shadow, you fire at it, and that's how it is, really.
And what was that one? What type of plane? Was that another Heinkel?
Another Heinkel 111.
And was that how? What month would that be?
Oh dear!
You don't remember? It wasn't in August, though.
No.
And much later. So what about before we go into? So let's look at what you do when you weren't then in the air. Because I mean, obviously, there's a time, you know, before you were on the mosquitoes. Yeah, you weren't put. I mean, you were flying the bow fighters for quite a while, weren't you? You're not quite sure, but. What would you do on the ground then? Take me through what a typical day was like on the ground when you weren't flying.
Sleeping most of the time.
Would you get very tired? Talk to me about that. How tired would you get?
You get very tired, of course you do. I mean, you're flying 1,000 miles, that really takes it out of you, you know. You do get very, very tired. And I'd land about 4 or 5 or 6 in the morning. That's something I must mention. I had 4 mechanics who used to look after myself and the aircraft.
Now tell me about them, because they're important to pilots. They're
very, very important.
What did they do for you? Take us through it.
Well, they looked after the aircraft, of course, but also they're concerned about me. And when I used to land, it could be 5 o'clock in the morning, they were waiting for me. They were always waiting for me. And I bought a tin of coffee and a bottle of rum. So every time I landed, we get rum and coffee, or coffee rum. They'd make it, and although they would never drink it, or unless I was there with them, you know, very good.
Now, what did they do on the aircraft? What was their role on the aircraft?
Well, mechanics and engineers, and one instruments.
And did they do a good job?
Yeah, wonderful. Well, my life depended upon them. Of course, it did. I mean, a loose nut and bolt, and I could have had it, you know. Oh yeah,
and they took that seriously.
Oh yeah, yeah, they really did. Mm.
You were going to say so? I interrupt. So
yeah, that's right. One of them's only. I was only 19. He was 35. I used to call him Uncle.
So that was a ground crew.
I was known as Boss. I was always known as Boss. Yeah. Not Sir or anything like that. I was Boss. Yeah.
And what about what would you do in the evening? You'd sleep most of the day. You said you'd go to the bar in the evening. Now, where was the bar? Was that a pub or is that?
Local pub. It's just a local pub. I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
It's a little village next to Bolthead, Bolttail.
In South Devon.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? What was a typical night like in the pub for you as a young pilot? What, 19? You've shot down your first aircraft.
Yeah.
You're a sergeant, aren't you? But I mean, which is, you know, quite senior. It's so young. Would you drink a lot? How much booze would you drink?
Oh, not a great deal. I mean, I'm not used to it. I was only in fact, I didn't start drinking until I was doing the Air Force.
So what would you drink?
Oh, beer. Fourpence a pint, I think it was.
And how many?
Maybe three.
So not enough to really...
No, I didn't get drunk.
Just to have a good time.
Yeah.
Loosen up a bit.
Yeah.
And who would be in the pub, and how did you get on with the local civilians?
There weren't many local civilians. The pub, usually, that was mainly Air Force personnel, you know, people like that.
And what was the atmosphere like in there?
Oh, jovial, you know, the usual darts and shove halfpenny and all that sort of business, you know. Friendly. Oh, yeah.
No fighting?
No.
Singing?
Yes, singing beer. On a Friday night sometimes. I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, they'd sing now and again. Yeah.
And that's what you do on your night off?
Yeah, mainly. Just a few hours in the pub, that's all.
Now, how long were you on the Beaufighter long before you switched to the Mosquito?
And I can't remember, you know. Well, started on Bose on July, didn't we? July.
43, yeah.
And I flew until May. 44.
Now that's the Slapton Sands thing finished you off, wasn't it?
Ah, yeah.
So,
but during that time, I flew Beaufighters, and then I went to Mosquitoes for only a couple of months.
Oh, I see. It was just a so in between. You went back to the Beaufighter. Mm. Well, what did you think of the Mosquito? Let's talk about that.
Wonderful.
Now, what you quite like the Beaufighter, so what was better or worse about the Mosquito?
Easy to handle, light, very manoeuvrable, very fast. You know, just a lot easier, much easier to handle than a Beaufighter. You could throw yourself all over the place in a Mosquito. In fact, really and truly, they were faster than Spitfires. Do you know that? Oh yeah.
They're single seaters, Mosquitoes. I'm sorry, I'm not very up on.
I know.
You still had a Navigator, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
I was just checking.
Yeah. Well, when I went to France, I had a real Navigator, not a radar Navigator. It had to be a proper Navigator. You know.
Now, what were you doing when you took over for a couple of months? You're on Mosquitoes. Were you not doing the round the coast run?
No. No. The idea was I'd go over to Normandy and try to follow a German aircraft going into land. I used to get in behind them and go in that way and have a go at them then.
And so that was quite a good place to catch them, obviously.
Yeah. But then you had to go out. Had to get out. Because that's, you know, you take everybody by surprise, follow them in and fire at them. And then after that, the guns were at it, you know, were at you.
The anti-aircraft guns.
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember? Can you take us through any of those? Is that where you shot down some of your other successes?
Yeah, JU-88.
Tell me about that.
Well, I, I followed him into land. That's all. He was going into land, and I followed him in. And just before he landed, I fired at him. And then I had to get away quick.
And could you see the effect of your fire on him? Hmm? Could you see what happened when you hit him?
Oh yeah. He destroyed him. You know, he fell to bits before he hit the ground. So.
Did it blow up again, or just fall to bits?
Caught fire. Hmm.
Is that the one you were saying? Did that worry you? Because airmen, well, First World War airmen used to have a thing about fire.
No, it was. I think it was the second one with on the bow that worried me first of all, because it caught fire, and one of their blokes came out on a parachute, and his parachute was on fire. So I could see him. He went down on a flaming parachute.
And that was the second one you'd shot.
Yeah.
That was the other Heinkel 111.
Yeah.
Mm. You shot down in the bow fighter.
Yeah.
And that troubled you more?
Well, for a while it troubled me. It troubled me for a while, yeah. I realised I was firing at people. Yeah. On the first one, I was firing at shadows, you know. But then I realised I was people, you know.
So that's what the Junkers 88. Did you shoot out down any others over France on these deep patrols? Well, getting round the back of them actually.
188.
What happened there?
It was similar sort of thing. I followed him in, you know, to to land, and I caught him before he landed.
Anything special about it that you remember?
Well, they hit the ground in, fell to bits.
And how much anti-aircraft fire would you have to face? Could you talk to what was it like being under that? I mean, people can't imagine now.
It was hair-raising. It really was. You know, having followed them in, you took everybody's surprise. They wouldn't think anybody would be so mad to do a thing like that, I don't think. Anyway, anti-aircraft wouldn't fire at you in case they fired at them. Or normally they'd think you were one of them anyway, doing a thing like that. Well, immediately you blew them up, all hell was let loose. And anti-aircraft and everything else.
What could you see? What did it look like?
Fireworks. That's all I can say. It's like masses of fireworks. You know.
How close to you?
Well, there are occasions when you got back, you were slightly damaged. So some of them had been very close.
And would they fire as a barrage, i.e. in front of you, that you had to fly through, or would they be aiming at you? Do you know what I mean by the difference?
Yeah, it's like a box. They'd have a box around the airfield. They'd have aircraft anti-aircraft all around the field, firing in towards the
to fill this box.
Yeah, box. Yeah.
Did it make you nervous, or were you too busy to think about it?
I was 19, and my mate was usually about 20 or something like that. You know, let's get the hell out of here and make a laugh. No, it didn't worry you all that much. I mean, it was a stupid thing to do. Of course, it was. I wouldn't do it now, of course. I've got more sense, you know. But it was like we were kids, being naughty, doing silly things.
These raids, you were ordered to do them, weren't you? I mean, you were told to go on these raids, weren't you? These behind into Normandy.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just your own off your own bat. You were told to do it, I presume.
We were given the okay to go over there and do it, but we weren't ordered to shoot things down or anything. Well, we weren't.
You were told to go over France, but it was you were looking for aircraft.
Yeah, that's
land.
Right.
That
it was me
initial.
Who did that. Yeah, and the way I looked at it depended upon me. You know.
Now you shot down an ME-109 as well. Was that during that phase, or was that later or earlier?
Not an ME-109.
Oh right.
It was a
Messerschmitt. Sorry, I know.
But I can't think what it was.
Was that at that time as well, or?
No, that was later.
Okay, right. So, anything else in this time when you had a mosquito? You just seem to have had that for the 2 months. Were there any others of you flying on that mission, or was it just you? You and your navigator? I mean, were there any other mosquitoes being sent on the same job?
I didn't know of any others. None of our people, just me.
Were there any special aircraft recognition? You know what I mean? You send up a mosquito,
yeah,
and tell it to go to France.
Yeah.
It could easily bump into another mosquito, and you have to be able to know it's each other. Was there any way of sort of avoiding bumping into your own aircraft that might be over there? Or was that just, did you just know that anything you met was German?
Anything you met was German.
Anything else about those flights over France then?
No, not really. No.
Did you find yourself getting more nervous or less nervous? You know, you start off and then doing it. Did it become a routine and you got less nervous, or some people get more and more nervous as they go on?
Well, it wasn't nervous. You got elated. You know, I don't know what the word is.
Just overexcited.
Yeah, you get a feeling uplift inside. You know, so you got a boost from it, mainly.
And so you didn't get worse for you.
If anything,
you got better.
No, I said I was only young. Yeah. Older, I may have been different.
Did you write to your mum? Did you keep in? You know, you're there about what, 10 months? Did you write home and tell her what was going on?
Oh no, I couldn't tell her what was going on. No, I'd write home, of course I did. You know, but you can never write and tell her what was going on at all. Of course not.
So you just, it was just, the letters would just have day-to-day stuff, but not about your missions. Mm. And would she write to you?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Were letters very important? I mean, would you get letters from lots of people, or would you write to lots of people, or was it just...
No, I think I can only think ever from her. I can't think of anybody else who used to write to me.
And what would she write about? I mean, sometimes it's difficult.
How my brothers were getting on, I expect, and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Family news.
Yeah, family news, I mean, yeah.
So what happened next? You're flying these mosquitoes for a couple of months of that, and then what?
Yeah, quite a few months of that, yeah. And then I went back on bow fighters, but that was different. Excuse me. A different mark bow fighter, and it was fitted with a special radar on the nose to pick up surface vessel. It's like a bulb on the nose, which had
so your previous radar had only done air.
Only done air.
So it couldn't have told you if there was an E-boat or a destroyer down below.
No. But these things, I think they were called SVR or something like that, surface vessel radar, and you could pick up ship on the surface, on the surface below.
So did this change what you were doing? I mean, before...
No, it's still... We did the same patrol. But this time we were looking for E-boats, U-boats and things like that, you know, surface vessels.
Would you fly at a different altitude? I mean, how high had you flown when you were looking for
500 feet. just above the waves.
That's when you're looking for the ships. And what height, I should have asked before, but what height would you fly the other missions? You know,
well, only a very low. Always flew very low.
Always low. So even when you were looking for aircraft, you'd and then you'd come up from
underneath.
Now, what were the coastal patrols looking for e-boats and things? What were they like?
What
was a typical patrol like? Did it differ much?
No, the same area. You know, western tip of the Isle of Wight back to Land's End and up to Wales.
And how far ahead of you could your radar see? You know, I mean, what? Roughly.
Not very far. Something like 1,000 yards. Very close.
So you'd probably be over them almost as soon as you'd see them. You'd have flown over them, you'd have to turn back.
Yeah.
Did you encounter, I mean, and you'd also be going up every alternate night on this?
Yes.
And still based at Bolthead?
Yeah.
And did you encounter any e-boats before that? I don't want to go into the Slapton Sands one yet. We'll do that tomorrow. But did you encounter anything beforehand?
No.
Any sort of anything?
Well, I knew that there were U-boats.
How did you know?
Well, they were... Oh, crap. They were off the south of Ireland, recharging their batteries. We knew they were staying there. We couldn't touch them because it was Ireland.
Did you actually see them?
No, we just knew they were there.
How did you feel about them using... It's air as neutrality is basically what they're doing, aren't they?
Well, bit fed up, really. It was hard luck that we couldn't go in and have a go at them, you know. But they were almost on the shore of Ireland.
So you were just you were just absolutely forbidden to do that. Now, what else would you see? Oh, well, no, you didn't see them, but you knew about them. What else would happen?
Nothing really happened until that Slapton Sands business.
What was the new... let's talk a bit, because I want to say that until next time, so we get it all in one.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Yeah, of course I did. Another bandit, I shot him down.
Is this the... this is the Messerschmitt?
Yeah.
Now, tell me about that, Lal.
Well, as I say, we're controlled by the radar people. And we were told that there was one in the area, you know. And
so this is while you were looking for boats, but you'd been told there was an aircraft up.
Yeah. Well, there's some pretty terrific armament on this. We had cannon, but also rockets.
This is on the new Bowfighter.
New Bowfighter, yeah.
Was that a lot better?
Oh, yeah. Well, you stood better chance, didn't you, with a cannon. Yeah. And it was cannon that shot it down with cannon.
Would you fire both the rocket and the cannon?
No. Wouldn't fire the rockets at aircraft. They were for surface vessels.
Now, what were the cannon like to fire? What happened when you fired at the Messerschmitt? You came from below again, I presume?
Well, you decelerated for a little while, a couple of seconds. You seemed to, boom, you know, give you a jolt. That's all. Yeah.
And this Messerschmitt, was it a fighter or a heavier aircraft?
I think they were used at night by the Germans.
It was a night
probably
fighter.
One of their night fighters.
And what impact did the cannon fire have on it?
Blew it away.
And once again, you basically hadn't been seen. You just weren't seen. I mean, he never saw you.
No, I couldn't have been seen, but no. But of course, we didn't know until later on. They had radar. They could pick you up on their airborne radar. They knew when they were being followed. We never knew that. They never told us. Good job.
So why hadn't they seen you? They'd just not been watching enough.
Well, I don't know. Didn't expect to suspect. I don't know.
And anything else happened before? Was this new Bowfighter better then? It's got better armour. Can we talk about the new Mark Bowfighter? It's got the surface vessel radar. It's got the cannon. It's got the rockets. Was it better in any other ways?
No, it was just very similar to the handling as the original.
Do you know what Mark it was?
No, I can't remember.
So it was really what they'd added to it that made it better rather than the actual aircraft. It wasn't any faster?
Originally, it was meant to carry bombs, but they modified it, took away anything in it to carry bombs, and it put rockets instead and cannon. So it was a modified.
Did you prefer that or the Mosquito? I mean, the Mosquito.
Oh yeah, Mosquito every time. Of course, wonderful aircraft. I thought made of wood, you know.
But the Bowfighter, you were happy enough to be on it.
Oh yeah, I got used to that. Of course, yeah.